Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Hi, I'm Paul Listick, and welcome to Behind the Curtain.
And good day, everybody. Welcome to Behind the Curtain podcast. I'm Paul Listick from WGN-TV, and this week, we got to talk politics. Obviously, we're coming out of a week. And to be honest, I actually thought that as we were going to do this show, I could tell you who the president is and what was going to happen. But as you'll learn from my guest right now, that we're unable to do that. Brad Bannon returns, Democratic strategist, president of Bannon Communications Research, hosts the Leslie Marshall Show every Monday afternoon at 2 o'clock Chicago time. And you should check him out. But I'm thrilled he's going to spend a little time with me. Brad, it's good to talk to you.
It's always a pleasure to talk to you, Paul. I want to thank you for coming on Deadline DC a couple of times in the last month. I feel now that I'm on your show, we're doing a crossover episode of Law and Order.
Yeah, exactly. Or I was thinking it might be like when Petticoat Junction used to visit Green Acres or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah,
you know.
Exactly.
So as we're talking now, and I'll be honest with you, Brad, between the time we finish and this podcast gets posted, we may very well know who the president is. Things are getting that close. But what is your thought on the fact that here it is a couple of days after Election Day? Why don't we know who the president is going to be? And the reason, what I mean by that is, if there was so much, if Democrats were so convinced that Donald Trump was out the front door because he's just a horrendous president, well, that's not what happened. So what is going on in the country?
Well, I think the short answer is the reason why we're waiting to figure out who the next president is we live in a very closely divided nation. Joe Biden won a majority of the popular vote, and it's going to, you know, his share of the popular vote is going to be pretty close to what it was for Hillary Clinton. Hillary Clinton won by about 2.5%, and I think Joe Biden is going to come in close to that, probably a little higher, 3 or 3.5%. But it shows we live in a closely divided nation. It was in 2016, and it still is.
Do you think? And in the end, I mean, the way things are looking as we speak, we can talk about it as though Joe Biden will be the president, because if that doesn't happen, you know, really something's really unexpected is about to hit everybody, because it certainly looks like he's going to be, and certainly very soon. But that being said, you know, was Joe Biden the best candidate for Democrats this time around? And is that part of the resonance some people had of saying, I don't know if I want to go there? Was he the best guy? Clearly, there was an anti-Trump vote, but there wasn't a whole heck of a lot of pro-Biden vote, or was there?
Well, I think a good part of Joe Biden's vote was motivated by a distrust and dislike for Donald Trump. The reality is, I'm not sure a different Democratic candidate would have made a lot of difference, because I think we live in separate, hardened political silos. There are Republicans and there are Democrats, and never shall twain meet. I just think that we are in a closely divided nation. There are almost roughly equal number of partisans on each side. And I'm not sure it would have made a difference if there had been a different Democratic candidate.
So we can move the story forward a little bit by assuming Joe Biden eventually gets the nod, becomes president-elect. And so therefore, we can be pretty certain that the courts are about to be filled with lawsuits from the Trump campaign. It's already starting. There's already lawsuits in Pennsylvania and Georgia and other states. How disruptive will those cases be to the country moving on? Or do you think it's simply going to be noise, background noise?
Well, I think, first of all, I'm confident that on January 20th, of next year, Joe Biden is going to be inaugurated as the 46th president of the United States. But I agree with you, there's going to be a lot of disruption and discord between now and Inauguration Day. I think it's pretty clear that Donald Trump will not give up power easily. I think they were going to be filled with all sorts of court cases. You know, you mentioned right now there are armed Trump supporters surrounding the buildings where they're counting votes in Philadelphia and Las Vegas. And I think it shows how divisive the Trump effort has been. And I think Donald Trump is not going to admit he lost. He is going to do everything in his power to throw, you know, mud in the air between now and an election day. And I think Donald Trump's resolve to throw out the popular vote, the vote for Joe Biden, is very disruptive to American democracy. You know, the president sent out a tweet on Thursday morning that said, stop counting the vote. That was it. Stop counting the vote. And millions of Americans voted legally, and Donald Trump doesn't want their votes to be counted. And I think we're going to see all sorts of attempts at, by the Trump administration and Trump campaign to disrupt the installation of Joe Biden. And it's not good. I think, you know, if we Donald Trump was a better man, he'd say, well, you know, I'm sorry I lost, but the best man won. And right now, the best thing for the nation is to prepare for a transition. And I think Donald Trump is disrupting the democratic process. And sadly, I think he will continue to between now and Inauguration Day.
Brad, you can't possibly be saying, there's sarcasm in my voice if you can't detect it. You can't possibly be saying that with every former president, Obama, George W. Bush, Bill Clinton, George H.W. Bush, you can't possibly be saying that every former president who simply gets out of the way of the new president and stays on the sidelines to not disrupt things, you're saying Donald Trump will not walk that same path?
Well, Donald Trump has been more disruptive than any president we've had in the great history of our republic. And Donald Trump, you know, cannot believe he lost the election to Joe Biden. I don't think Donald Trump can accept it psychologically. And I think he's going to do everything he can to disrupt an orderly transition of power to a new president. And, you know, just face it, Donald Trump is, unlike any president we've had before, more disruptive to American democracy than any president has been before. I don't think you're going to see a lot of pictures of Donald Trump welcoming Joe Biden to the White House, giving him a tour of Joe Biden's new Oval Office. Donald Trump will refuse to lose. And my guess is Joe Biden's going to have to drag him out of the White House kicking and screaming. And that's not good for American democracy and our tradition of orderly transition of power.
Well, the good news is Joe Biden already knows where the bathrooms are, right? He spent 8 years hanging around that place.
He doesn't need a tour, which is good because I don't think Donald Trump's going to give him one.
You're probably right about that. Actually, how likely do you think that on January 21st at 12:02 p.m., Donald Trump announces his run for the presidency in 2024?
Oh, I think he'll probably do it before then. Wouldn't surprise me a bit if Donald Trump actually announces his candidacy for 2024 as Joe Biden is taking the oath of office in order to grab the attention away from the new president. I don't put anything beyond Donald Trump, and I'm sure he's already thinking of putting together a 2024 campaign. And if Donald Trump doesn't do it, I'm sure one of his children will run in his stead.
In a related issue, when Joe Biden has been asked in the past, will you instruct the Justice Department to go after Donald Trump for any crimes which may or may not have been committed, prior to his presidency? It's questionable whether anything can happen during his presidency, because maybe not. But that being said, although something happened during his presidency, whether you can go after him afterwards. But Joe Biden basically said, the Justice Department is independent. I will have nothing to say. It will be up to the Attorney General. So if the Attorney General, whoever it might be, I don't know, maybe Amy Klobuchar, who knows, if they came to you and said, Mr. Bannon, Do you think it'll be better for the country that we go after Donald Trump, which will be seen as revenge by the Democrats to go after what he's done? Or do you think we should align with what is the likely spirit of Joe Biden, which is going to say, let's heal the nation, bring everybody together, and let's just move on beyond Donald Trump and forget about him?
Well, my guess is if the attorney general came to him and said, do you want me to investigate Donald Trump? Joe Biden will become president because he's always put the nation first. He's always tried to be a unifying political figure throughout his long political career. And if Joe Biden feels that the nation can heal more quickly after the divisions of the last 4 years, he will not go after Donald Trump.
And now, as a Democratic strategist and American, would that be the right decision? I mean, don't you think Democrats, you think it's the right decision to not go after Trump?
I think it's the best thing for Joe Biden is to do everything he can to move the nation forward and not dwell in the division of the last 4 years. So, yes, if I was Joe Biden, I would not prosecute Donald Trump. Because I think the nation needs to move on and focus on the next 4 years instead of the crimes of the last 4 years.
Now, that question was a follow-up to the previous one where you talked about how disruptive you believe Trump will be to a Biden administration, I'm sure with rallies and on a daily basis and on and on and on. So I want to kind of put that back in the question and say, do you still stand by that? No matter what Donald Trump does going forward, you're basically saying when they go low, we go high?
Yeah, exactly. That's the kind of president I think Joe Biden will be. Joe Biden, let's face it, this country, is facing severe problems. We have over 100,000 people every day, coming down with COVID-19. We've had more than 230 million Americans who died of the pandemic. We have millions of Americans who are unemployed. We have racial violence. We have climate change looming around the corner. And I think Joe Biden has to focus, and I think Joe Biden feels this way, needs to focus his energies 100% on solving the problems that threaten the existence of a great republic. And I don't think he wants to get mired in the last 4 years of division and discord that have been fomented by Donald Trump. He wants to move forward. He's always been a unifying figure, try to bring people together. And I think that's the kind of presidency we'll get, and I certainly hope for.
Just to button up the issue, do you take the same position with regard to if they are potentially, chargeable with anything? Do you take the same position with regard to Don Jr., Eric, and Ivanka?
No, I think that's different. I think it all boils down to, as much as it pains me to say this, you need to respect the reverence to the office of the United States. Whenever I've talked to you, Paul, I've always referred to him as the president or President Trump. I have a reverence to the office, regardless of who's president. That doesn't extend to people who work for the president, including his family. And the other thing that's worth pointing out is Joe Biden won't have any control over local prosecutors. I think the New York Attorney General is investigating Donald Trump's financial dealings and may prosecute him and indict him, but Joe Biden has no control over that. But I think Joe Biden will move very gingerly when it comes to a former president. I think anybody else is fair game.
So let's now talk about a Biden administration. Obviously, Democrats had a lot of hope about a few things. First of all, increasing their gain in Republican suburbs around the country in the House. That didn't happen. In fact, it looks like they're going to lose 5 or 6 seats currently. On the Senate side, Democrats had hoped to take control of the Senate. A lot of people thought that was going to happen. Susan Collins was a goner. That didn't happen. I can go on and on. I won't talk about the individual races. But that being said, a two-point question. Number one, your reaction to the fact that the Democrats clearly didn't have a good day when it came to the House and the Senate. Number two, do you hold out any hope that there still might be a possibility in the Senate if the two Georgia races should head into a runoff, which could happen without getting into those details in January? That would be the final way that Democrats could gain control of the Senate if, in fact, Democrats were actually elected in two separate Senate Georgia contests. I don't know about that, but what is your thought about that? How likely is that, and what's your reaction to the fact that Democrats clearly came up short in their goals?
Well, I'm very disappointed the Democrats didn't take control of the Senate. Now, as you say, there may be two runoff Senate races in Georgia alone, and if the Democrats were able to win both of those, and I think they'll both be close races, that will bring the Democratic total up to 50, which means that the new Vice President, Kamala Harris, can break a tie and Democrats will control the Senate. But I'm disappointed it didn't happen on Election Day, because we have major problems to face. We can't afford any more obstruction between the White House and the Senate. We have major problems, especially the pandemic. We have to deal with decisive action. But, you know, I'm not totally pessimistic of the prospect of Joe Biden and Mitch McConnell working together. Joe Biden and Mitch McConnell served together in the Senate for a long time, and they've always had a good personal relationship. And good personal relationships count in Washington. While Joe Biden was vice president in the Obama administration, it was Joe Biden who did all the communicating between the executive branch and the Senate, because he and McConnell has always had a good personal relationship. And, you know, I'm a little more optimistic about the president and the Senate working together for two reasons. First of all, I think the two men have a good personal relationship. And two, the magnitude of the problems is so massive. I think they're going to have to work together. And I think the first evidence you'll see of that is, is a pandemic economic stimulus bill. I think that you will get that eventually. And hopefully if Joe Biden and Mitch McConnell can work together on that, it will be a platform to move on to the bigger and better things that we need to do to keep this nation moving forward.
I don't disagree that there will be a stimulus effort and a focus on the economy. McConnell's going to be after that, will be on board with that. But of course, McConnell's number one priority, he's made it very clear, is the judiciary. Now, Trump has appointed over 200 judges. He's, you know, the Supreme Court is, and I'll use the word stacked, with three of his appointments, because when you only have nine people, three sounds like a stacking to me. But it looks to me like as long as Joe Biden stays away from, I don't know who on the Supreme Court's going to go away. The oldest one on there is Stephen Breyer. He's a liberal, so maybe the McConnell would give him that one in a 4-year term. But none of the conservative justices seem to be old enough to be going anywhere or any health issues. So my question is, my comment is for your reaction, is my guess is McConnell will play along on some budget issues and priorities, but Joe Biden probably won't get very many judicial picks through on any level.
It's going to be tough. I'm not trying to downplay it. I mean, Joe Biden is going to have his hands full when he becomes president. He doesn't have control of the Senate. The Supreme Court will be hostile to him. And at the same time, we're facing massive problems that threaten the existence of the United States. I think that there's going to be a lot of rough and tumble. But I think there'll be also, because of the magnitude of the problems and the fact that Joe Biden and Mitch McConnell can at least have a conversation occasionally, I'm hopeful that the two men will find a way to work together to solve America's problems.
It looks like Biden was pretty smart not to bite the apple, if you will, of the constant questions about stacking the court and all those things that you will do, because he's not going to be able to do any of that now. He's not going to have control of the Senate. So, two-part question again. Number one, I assume you'd agree that Biden was smart to do that and avoid going there because it's not going to happen anyway. But then number two, how much, if you're Joe Biden and you do face a resistant Senate on a variety of things, How much does he resort to what President Obama did a little bit, but President Trump took to new heights, which is I've got a pen and a phone, and I'm going to be doing executive orders like there's no tomorrow.
Well, I think that there's going, you know, Joe Biden is going to be very active issuing executive orders. You know, that's one of the things about executive orders. When, you know, Donald Trump signed any number, I don't know, thousands of executive officers, and they can instantly be undone by the new president. So Joe Biden can do a lot, actually, just by canceling the executive orders that Donald Trump issued. A lot of the actions that Donald Trump undertook were not a function of congressional legislation, which has to be changed by Congress, but it was by executive order. And Joe Biden can do a lot of undo a lot of the damage of the Trump presidency in the first day he's sitting in the White House with a pen and paper in hand.
If Obamacare is struck down by the Supreme Court, which we'll know in a few months from now, once again, it looks like Joe Biden won't have a Senate to, you know, get some other version of Obamacare through. What happens in the world of healthcare? I mean, Donald Trump signed an executive order which says pre-existing conditions coverage for everybody. It isn't worth the paper it's written on. That's not a partisan comment. It's just that's a lawyer comment. That's the way it is. What does Joe Biden do to try and get healthcare in with a Republican-controlled Senate and Obamacare gone, if that happens?
Well, the number one issue in the midterm elections in 2018 was the Democratic surge in 2018 was created by a massive demand for some kind of expansion of the healthcare system. And that's not going to go away in the 2022 midterm elections. Republicans lost badly in 2018 because of their lack of a health care plan. I think Joe Biden is going to make the case, hey, listen, if you want to lose big in the 2022 midterms, block my initiative to expand health care to millions of new Americans.
Shouldn't that have cost Republicans this time? Health care was on the ballot this time around. And again, Republicans did not pay a price for the issues you're talking about.
Well, I think there's a difference. This time, I looked at the exit polls from Election Day, and the number one issue, in the exit polls in 2018 was health care. And the people who were concerned about health care in 2018 voted Democrat by a 3-to-1 margin. This time, health care was very low on the list. The number one issue was the economy. The number two issue was racial justice. The number three issue was the pandemic. And health care was down the list. If Americans start losing health care again in massive numbers because of the Supreme Court, health care is going to move to the top of the list again, and it's going to cause Republicans the same level of problems in 2022 as it did in 2018. The failure to come up with a plan cost them the House of Representatives in 2018, and if they fail to come up with a health care plan, they're going to face the same problems keeping the Senate in 2022.
In the world of climate, I think Joe Biden on day one will rejoin the Paris Accord. He'll give our NATO allies a sigh of relief. When it comes to the environment, because Donald Trump, I'll tell you, I don't think a lot of people even know how much Donald Trump did. I mean, opening up otherwise protected lands to drilling and oil, and people have their own views about that. But will Biden be able to undo a lot of the climate steps that President Trump has taken and re-protect things that no longer have protection?
Donald Trump's executive orders are only legal as long as Donald Trump is president. They all go out the window the minute that Joe Biden takes the oath of office. And I think you're going to see Biden focus in the first few days of his presidency issuing his own executive orders. A lot of what the damage Donald Trump did can be undone very quickly by executive order, by Joe Biden executive orders.
We got to wrap up in a second. I want to take a step back with a question I forgot to ask you, which is, you know, people, a lot of Democrats, people like Bill Maher, Keep saying Donald Trump will not leave the White House. They will literally have the military, carry him out. I always thought that was a little bit over the top, although I'm not sure anymore. What do you think? Does Donald Trump go quietly on Inauguration Day?
I think he will go, but not quietly. I think he'll leave the White House. I don't agree with Bill Maher either. But I think between now and Inauguration Day, Donald Trump is going to make a lot of noise, throw a lot of mud up against the wall. But he'll go. He just won't go quietly.
And finally, as you look forward, what do you expect to be, given the fact that at least for 2 years, it looks like there won't be, Democrats will not control all the houses. So what will Joe Biden's greatest focus and accomplishments be in the course of the first 2 years to give Democrats a sense of we're changing things for the better?
I think Joe Biden will do. I think you will see, because the economy is so bad, I think Joe Biden will be able to work out something, some kind of economic stimulus, which Mitch McConnell and the Republican led Senate. And I think Joe Biden's greatest contribution in his first 2 years will be jumpstarting the economy and get it moving in the right direction. He said that's his number one priority after fighting the pandemic. And I believe that a rejuvenated economy is going to be the big Biden selling point as Democrats head into the 2022 midterm elections.
The good news is whenever we make predictions, we get to talk about these things in time, both on your show and my show. So I love the fact that as friends, we get to get together and just see how things are going. And then, of course, if we're wrong, we won't admit it.
Yeah, we can. And I look forward to the next episode of this crossover on Deadline DC soon.
I look forward to joining you. Brad Bannon, host of Deadline DC, again, every Monday at 2 p.m. Chicago time. Oh, give the site where people want to go to it. Where can they hear that show?
The best way they can watch the show at periscope.tv/Brad Bannon.
All right, periscope.tv/Brad Bannon. And, of course, check out Brad's website, his company, Bannon Communications Research. If you're thinking of running for office, you probably want to talk to Brad and get him out there polling for you. Brad Bannon, my friend, thank you for your time. And you were the right person to talk to so few moments after this election took place.
Always a pleasure to talk to you, Paul, both here and on my show.
Thank you, Brad. Well, if you want to know more about what we've talked about here, follow me on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, at Paul Lisnek. That's PaulLisnek. And I'd love to hear your comments or topic suggestions for future podcasts. You can also go to my website, paullisnek.tv. And hey, don't forget to hit subscribe on WGN Plus and iTunes and tune in each week to hear more insider scoop coming to you from behind the curtain.